Arts Connection, the intersection of faith and the arts in Canadian culture. With your host, Robert White. Now, here's Robert.
Welcome to Arts Connection. Tonight's guest has been writing professionally for about 30 years, primarily writing children's books, including the latest, Hopeful Homer. And along the journey, Glynis Bellick began Angel Hope Publishing, whose latest project is an anthology of short stories written by six authors who have experienced grief in many different ways. Glynis is on the phone with us from her Drayton area home office to talk about Good Grief People and other writing projects. But before we begin our conversation with Glynis, let's listen to Anthem of Praise from the Toronto Mass Choir CD, Made for Worship.
And power belong to God.
Glory and honor, ooh, and power belong to God.
Holy and omnipotent, you are Almighty God.
Holy and omnipotent, you are Almighty God.
Boundless and infinite, you deserve the highest
praise.
Eternal and measureless, perfect in all your ways.
Eternal and measureless, ooh, perfect.
Lord, I sing your praise.
Worthy and unlimited, Lord, ooh, I sing your praise.
Matchless and absolute, I will do what you say.
Oh, and I will do what you say.
Amazing and awesome, forever you will reign.
Amazing and awesome, forever.
For
now to our interview with Glynis Bellick. Good evening, Glynis.
Good evening, Robert.
Well, let's give our listeners a chance to get to know a little bit about you. And what got you started in your love for writing?
My love for writing. Well, actually, it started a long time ago when I was a little girl. I always loved writing. Never fancied myself as a writer, though, but I used to write poetry and I wrote songs with my sister, and I actually did quite well in composition in school, but like I said, I wasn't really thinking about being a writer. But then years later, I went into nursing school, and I had to do an essay as part of the entrance exam, and I think it was called Safety First or something, and I got an A+, so I was quite pleased about that. And then later on, after I graduated and everything, I got married, I had children, and then I entered this countywide library contest in Bruce County, and I won. And it was a story called Daisy Daisy, and it was about a woman who had a stroke, but her husband suddenly died of a heart attack. And it was actually based on a true story of one of my patients mm-hmm. in a nursing home where I was working at the time. And she really struck a chord with me, and I felt so sorry, and I just wanted to tell her story. She couldn't speak, so anyway, it's not a true story, but it was based on her life and what I thought her life was about. So anyway, so then I started to think about writing as a career, because like I said, I won that contest. I thought, oh, people do want to read my words. So then we moved to Drayton, and I'm talking about 30 years ago now, this little community outside of Kitchener-Guelph area, and it just happened. I'm looking back now, and this was such a God thing, that there was a an ad in the paper for a six-week freelance writing course. I went, I think I'll take that. So I did, and I absolutely loved it. And then the instructor there actually offered another six-week advanced course, so I took that, and I thought, okay, this is what I want to do. But part of the course was a challenge to the writers who were involved in this get-together to see if we could get an article published somewhere. So I approached the Drayton Community News, our local newspaper. I went with knocking knees and asked them if they might be interested. So I submitted an article there, and they accepted it, and I ended up writing a weekly column there called Sugar and Spice for 11 years. So obviously they liked me. It was kind of an inspirational, humorous content in the editorial, and I really liked doing it. And then I started doing some freelancing, got a couple of assignments for magazines and other mainstream periodicals, and so that's kind of where I got my started, mm-hmm. my start, and I just kind of blossomed from there. And I was homeschooling my children, and I started sending out some queries to different magazines, and I just kept feeling this nudge from God, and I just found my niche in the Christian market. So I started writing the children's magazines, and I was on the editorial board of the Pioneer magazine for the Reformed Church of Canada for a while, and I really learned a lot there. I love to learn, and I learned a lot homeschooling too, and then I ended up taking more courses on writing, and I took some courses on teaching, and I ended up tutoring children for 18 years, so my nursing career was put to the side, and I became a tutor, a full-time tutor. Mm-hmm. And it was great because I found lots of fodder for children's books, and that's where I ended up becoming a children's author, and I love writing children's books. I've had five children's picture books published, and I've been involved in the Hot Apple Cider, three of their books, and I write for the Chicken Soup books and other anthologies through Inscribe and Grandmother's Necklace. And so I've got plenty of irons in the fire. Mm-hmm. And recently, it's kind of neat, my Sugar and Spice column is being resurrected in a magazine, a local magazine called The Rural Root. So I'm going to be doing that starting in November. So I'm pretty excited about that. So I regularly submit to other places too. So.
Well, as you've been going along, who have been some of the people that have been influences for you as a writer?
Well, actually, I loved Irma Bombeck. She was my she didn't know this, but she was my mentor because her column was in a local newspaper too, and I just grabbed that and I loved that. So I love writing humor, slice of life, that kind of thing. And C.S. Lewis, very deep, so opposite from Irma Bombeck to C.S. Lewis, but just that deep Christian philosophy, and I just love that. And so, yeah, a lot of and then a lot of Canadian authors too. The more I've been involved in the Word Guild and Inscribed Christian Writers Fellowship, I just have met so many other mm-hmm. Canadian authors, and I'm very big on promoting Canadian authors because we have some wonderful writers, and I don't even know where to begin naming them. I could give you a huge list, but I'm sure I'd leave some people out.
Yeah. Well, when you're looking at and one of the challenges I know that you find with children's books is you do the writing. Do you do the illustrations for your children's books, or are you always working with an illustrator?
I actually work with an illustrator, and right now I have a wonderful young man. His name is Mark Mullen. He lives in Arthur, and he is illustrating my books and then some books for other people that I work with too. And fascinates me, Mark's brain fascinates me because he has autism, he has Asperger's, he's 23 years old, but he has this amazing talent, this incredible way of pouring his heart onto the page, and so he's who I work with. My brother also is an illustrator, so I've worked with him in the past, and so between Mark and John, yeah, we have lots of fun. And then there's another local lady here that's done some illustration work, Donna Hurdle, in town here. She's done some work for me too. So
now, when you're doing your children's books, do you do the story part first and then give that to the illustrator, or do you go to the illustrator and say, "Here's the idea, get the illustrations and then write the story to that"? How does that work for in your process?
What I do is I have a story first. Actually, one of my stories that I wrote that Mark illustrated, I wrote it 20 years ago for the Sugar and Spice column. It was kind of an inspirational story on hope. I love to speak and write on hope, so I tucked this away and I'd forgotten about it. And then I was going through my files one day and I thought, you know what, Hopeful Homer, I remember that story. And so I pulled it out and I edited. I had it edited, went over it a few times, And then I presented it to Mark, and then we worked in tandem, and he's very good, and he wants to give me exactly what I want. So he, you know, he asked me in detail what I foresee in that. But he also has, I give him free rein with, you know, some of the other details of the drawing. So, yeah, it's kind of a neat process how we work together. But in the books that I have created so far, I have done the illustration. I've done the work before the illustrations. Now, I did have two picture books published through Concordia Publishing House, and I have no control over the illustrations there, because that's a traditional publisher. So I submitted, they told me what they wanted as far as the story is concerned, so I came up with that, and then they did the illustrations because they have staff illustrators. And right. It's kind of interesting because the two illustrators for the two books that I published through them, totally different. You know, one was sort of a cartoonish style and the other one was quite serious. So that was kind of interesting. That's one reason why I like publishing myself, because I have more control, controlling person that I am. I like to kind of have a bit of say in that. So.
Well, I want to get into that whole aspect of you being a publisher and publishing yourself and publishing others. But before we do that, we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be right back with our guest, author and publisher, Glenn S. Billick. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM. Welcome back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to Come Let Us Sing from the Toronto Mass Choir CD, Made for Worship. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to continue our interview with author Glenn S. Billick. You started talking about it before we went to break, where you said that, you know, you like the aspect of publishing yourself because it gives you a little bit more control. Is that what led you to starting up Angel Hope Publishing, or was there another reason behind it?
I'd say probably a little bit of another reason, or is it? Multitude of reasons, but I began at the end of 2013 because I had published a book called Mrs. B Has Cancer, and it was a story based on my own experience, but it was a fiction story. And when I was approaching some editors, I'd gone to Write Canada and I'd talked to some editors about it, and they kept saying it's a niche market, and I was a little annoyed because I didn't really think it was a niche market because I wrote it for children in general. It's a book for 8 to 12 year olds, and it was about you know, this lady who had cancer, that she turned out, she was a tutor, and she turned out she had all these students, and they were asking her these questions, but I kind of narrowed it down. When I first started writing it, it started as a non-fiction book, but somehow it morphed into this fiction book, which I really liked. So then I thought, you know what, I should just try publishing myself, and I hadn't done it before, and I'd heard all kinds of people that had done it, so I jumped right in, and I did, and I called my little business Angel Hope Publishing. And then other people started asking me about my publishing and how I did it, and God really blessed me because it has been growing by leaps and bounds. I don't want it to get too big because I only have my daughter working for me. She's a professional photographer and a graphic designer, and but I love to help new writers. So we're basically a small custom publisher, and we try to offer, you know, really good customer service and, you know, paying special attention to people's books because we know that they're babies. When mm-hmm. I know all about that.
Yeah.
But, well, I also see it as my ministry as well, and what I desire to do is to bring glory to God through the written word, and that's what I tell my clients. Not all the submitted manuscripts are, you know, faith or gospel oriented, but I do have this. How should I say, like a wholesome, God-honoring, and respectable approach, and that those are the kind of principles that I want to portray with Angel mm-hmm. Hope. So I, you know, I'm a bit particular about it, but one of my main goals as a publisher is to kind of help a new writer or somebody that is just starting out with self-publishing to give their story wings. So right now I just offer one package, and it's called the Celebrate package because, you know, I just, like I said, I'm not prepared yet to go anything bigger, but maybe mm-hmm. one day, but...
Well, who are some of the other authors that you've published?
Peter Black. Sorry, oh my goodness, I've forgotten. Yeah, Peter Black mm-hmm. and Michael Bull Roberts. And I'm working on a lady's book right now, Grace Ibrahima. And so we're having lots of fun with that. And Rowena Lowell from Saskatchewan. And I'm working on Bobby Juniors from. She's also from out west. And then I've got one of my own. And then we're also working on. I'm working on an anthology with some other writers, and the book is called Good Grief People.
Yeah, I want to talk about that in a second. But before we get to that, I want to talk a little bit more about the publishing aspect in that. What have you found have been the biggest challenges of getting? Going from just being a writer and an author to now actually publishing and getting other people's works out into the marketplace?
The challenge is, well, certainly it's been a big learning curve for me because I started off knowing nothing. So, I mean, I've had to kind of I've been sort of self-taught along the way. I've taken a few courses and read online a lot of things and learned from other people and learned by my mistakes too. And so that's been a real challenge. And just sometimes it's kind of frustrating because I'm working on other people's books and I have all these ideas for stories or books myself that I really want to get to. So it's a time factor. So, but you can probably tell I'm a bit of you know, a squirrel brain, and I kind of jump here, there, mm-hmm. but that's just how I cope, and I love doing that. I have this big board that downstairs that keeps me focused, and my daughter's really good. She's very organized, so between the two of us, I get things done. I just wish I had more hours in a day, but I think everybody feels like that. But I just, mm-hmm. you know, do the best I can and mm-hmm. Learn when I can and admit when I don't know something. That's a tough one for me, but we do it.
Well, you just mentioned about the one project that you are working on, and it's a new one called Good Grief People. Mm. Tell us a little bit about what that book is going to be about.
Sure. Well, there are six of us involved. Ruth Meyer, Barbara Hege, Donna Mann, Carolyn Wilke, Alan Anderson, and yours truly. So it's a book. Ruth Meyer's husband actually had died in the early spring, and she was very, you know, dealing with her own grief, and we were recovering from a death in the family and of a friend and two other people all in the space of, you know, 10 days, so that was really struggling. So Ruth and I were kind of commiserating, and Ruth said something really profound. I can't actually remember what it was now on Facebook, and we were talking, and it was about the grieving process, and I kind of said in a facetious way, I said, you know what, we should write a book and call it Good Grief People, and I was just kidding, and she said, well, that's a great idea, and I went, oh, well, maybe it is. So we've been collaborating for the last few months, and then we kind of, Carolyn Wilker is an editor, and she was having some issues in her family, and Donna Mann, she works with grief, people with grief all the time, and she has certainly had some experiences in her life, and she's a pastor. And Barbara Hege had just lost her husband to cancer, too. And then Alan Anderson, who lives in B.C., he works in palliative care, and I've been in touch with him through our writing organizations. And he is works with people who are dying all the time, and he's a pastor, too. And he said something profound about how people are his teachers, and just the way he spoke about that, I just thought, you know what, I really want to get him involved in this. So we kind of gather together, and we meet every 2 months or so. We have been meeting every 2 months, except for Alan, because he's in B.C., so we communicate via social media with him. So then we've been, you know, talking and planning and working out some bugs for this Canadian-authored book. So it's basically a collection of short stories written by, you know, all six of us who've experienced grief in many ways. And we want it to be appealing to both the Christian market and, you know, the mainstream people who are needing this kind of a reader. But basically what we're saying is that it's everybody grieves differently, and we want to, you know, it's a very individual experience, and so we want to help people through that process. Not that we know everything, mm-hmm. we certainly don't, but we want others to know that it's okay to grieve this way, because we did, and look, you know, we're getting through this, and, you know, we want a platform for people to honestly reflect on their own grief, and we hope that this book will address that. And, you know, and grief can be good. It almost sounds improper, but it's part of the life cycle, and we want to kind of make it not so hush-hush, and we need to talk about it and encourage each other and you know, ease the sting of death. If
mm-hmm. Well, it sounds like this is a fairly extensive book in that. How are you fitting this around with all of the other projects that you're doing?
I do not know. Thank you, Lord, for giving me all this time. Anyway, we're actually, our publication date isn't till next February, the end of February, I think. We were going to do it for the end of the year, but really, a book on grief is not something that people will pick up for Christmas or anything mm-hmm. like that, so that's not a concern for us. So we want to do it properly and thoughtfully and prayerfully, so we've decided that, you know, time. So, yes, I try and squeeze in certain bits of time for interviewing people and then for putting my stories together. I just wish I didn't have to sleep, but I do, so mm-hmm. I have to, you know,
yeah.
get up early.
Well, and just looking at our time, I think we need to take one time final break, and then we're going to come back and finish our conversation with author and publisher Glennis Bellick. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM. Back to Arts Connection. You'll be listening to Taking My Time from the Toronto Mass Choir's Made for Worship CD. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to continue and wrap up our conversation with author Glennis Bellick. You mentioned that you're looking at a release for next year for Good Grief People. Any idea when you're hoping to have that released?
Yes, well, we're shooting for February the 28th. That's our release date. So. Mm-hmm.
And what are you hoping, you kind of touched on this, but as people are reading through this, what are you hoping that they're really going to pull away from it?
Well, our subtitle, if you like, let me see, it says, Easing the Sting of Death by Recognizing and Respecting the Individuality of Grief and the Reality of Hope in the Process. So we want to give people hope. Like I said before, grief is part of the life cycle. it's nothing. I mean, some people fear death, and you know, that's just what happens in this world because it's the unknown. So, but we want to say, you know, we want to be a kind of a help to the people that are grieving, and because sometimes when we grieve, we're fearing our own death too, and we're fearing being alone. We're fearing so many things, and you know, our whole entire life turns upside down, and that's okay for a while. We just don't want people to get stuck in that grief, and that, I guess, is the goal of our book. We want to help people over the hurdle. Grieving sometimes never stops, and that's okay too. So we're also going to have resources in this, in the back of the book too. So we're looking towards building that up too, and getting some professional contacts for people who may need that too. I think that's important if we do that. And we're, you know, we've got, I think, five different parts of the book. Facing the Fact is part one, and that's, you know, where stories are referencing reluctancy around death. Part two, Anticipatory Grief, and that's stories to do with when death is inevitable. And part three is Unexpected Grief, of course, when stories are to do with when death is sudden and unexpected. And then just a general Good Grief chapter where, you know, stories to do with the grief journey and the different types of grief that people experience, and then what we learn through loss, and stories to do with what and how we learn through grief. And this is where Alan's stories would certainly be in there, where he's talking about teachers.
Right.
And so, yeah, so that's basically...
Well, if people are interested in either Good Grief People or some of the other projects that you've been working on, where can they find out that information?
Okay, probably best to go to my website. I am setting up another website, but this one will take you to that once I get that up. But www.glynisbalek.com, and then my email, writer@glynisbalek.com. And then if anybody's interested in finding out more about Angel Hope Publishing, angelhopepublishing@glynisbalek.com. And Glynis is G-L-Y-N-I-S, Balek, B-E-L-E-C.
Great. Glynis, thank you very much. Thank you very much for your time tonight.
My pleasure. Thank you, Robert.
Thank you for listening to Arts Connection today, and thank you to my guest, Glynis Balek. And if you miss a broadcast or want to hear it again, look for archive programs on our website, artsconnection.ca. And be sure to tune in next week for another look where faith, arts, and Canadian culture meet. For more information on Arts Connection, email robert@artsconnection.ca. Follow us on Twitter @SayLaw13. Look for the Arts Connection page on Facebook, or check out the Arts Connection blog at blog.artsconnection.ca. For Arts Connection, I'm your host, Robert White, saying good day and God bless.